Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. So verse 18. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilos of flour until it worked all through the dough."
In the year 1900, in the whole of the country of China, there were barely 100,000 Christians. The church did grow in China, but by 1941 things were very bad. Japan had invaded and many Christians left. Others were put in concentration camps, including many missionaries. Take one Scotsman, for example, from the China Inland Mission. He was in the Wake San internment camp, and he busied himself helping with the elderly and the sick, and teaching Bible classes, arranging games. Well, he was well qualified for that last one, because he was Dr. Eric Liddell, gold medalist of Chariots of Fire fame, Olympic sporting hero. But it was all a far cry from Olympic glory, and tragically he developed an inoperable brain tumour and died. He was dead and buried, and that was a picture of the entire Chinese church, because after the war things got worse. The communist revolution meant all the missionaries had to leave. From one city, Wenzhou, 49 pastors were sent to prison. 48 died in prison. It was dreadful. In Nanyang, believers were crucified on walls of their churches for not denying Christ. Others were chained to vehicles and dragged to their death. And the church went underground. And by the time of the Cultural Revolution, it really was hard to know from the outside whether there was any church, any Christians left in the whole of China. But it wasn't the end. Someone said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And the seed was planted. And it spent a long time under the ground, hidden. But gradually, slowly, imperceptibly, but definitely, it started to grow. It was incredibly painful, but it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it's growing as we meet today. Today, up to 1 in 8 people in China is a Christian, maybe 100 million. The kingdom of God is the most widespread, the most international, the most revolutionary thing the world will ever see. The kingdom of God. That is the place, the people, where the Lord God is king. The kingdom of God goes higher and spreads further. That's what Jesus tells us today. So we're in the middle of a summer series here at Moorgate Talks, looking at this great chapter of Luke's account of the life of Jesus. Please can I add my welcome to Brian's. And today, in just these few verses that Brian read, we see that Jesus' kingdom seems like nothing, but it's a secret agent that grows huge and spreads everywhere. So the short passage is there on the sheets. Please do have a look down. It's Jesus speaking, verse 18. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to?" I know. It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. So picture it. It's an intimate garden. There's maybe a lovely lawn, some flowers, some fruit trees, birds singing, sun shining. You've got it in your mind. I know in this place it takes a bit of imagination, but it's a flourishing garden. And the man who owns it, he's there in person. He's picked a spot. He's got some soil. What shall I plant here? A little seed. This tiny thing. He stoops down in the dirt and carefully, tenderly plants the seed. He covers it over and buries it in the ground. And he waits patiently. And in time, there's a tiny scrap of green. At first, it wouldn't hold an ant. But it grows bigger and bigger. Little shoots become sturdy branches. Leaves sprout. Food grows. Birds come. Rest in its cool shade. And then look on at verse 20. Again, he asks, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. It's a huge amount, isn't it? It's half a bathful of flour. But it's no good without this little bit of yeast. I tried to make a loaf of bread recently with expired yeast, and it was a bit of a mistake because it was quite stodgy. Well, it wasn't quite stodgy, it was a brick. But with live yeast, when the woman mixes it in, the dough springs up as if it's alive. A little scrap of yeast. A tiny seed. Well, we have 3 points today. And the first is there on the sheet. God's kingdom seems like nothing. It seems like nothing. But wait a minute, because how on earth can Jesus' kingdom ever be like something so small as a mustard seed or some yeast? He's the king of the whole universe. He made the universe. He owns it. He sustains it. He's bigger than the universe. What is going on? Well, Luke here is in the middle of an amazing story. If you haven't read the whole thing, please do take away one of the copies. We've got it back there. And read it. It's the story of a journey. A journey that starts up in heaven, but comes down. Because the Lord God becomes a tiny seed in his mother's tummy. Have you ever thought that Jesus was once a single cell? And then Luke tells us that he became a baby in a cattle feeding trough. He became a boy in a forgotten northern town. He became a man who had nothing. He was homeless and penniless. Why? Why did the Lord God become so small? Well, Luke tells us that he's come to solve a big problem. What's the problem? Treason. Treason. We have usurped the king and put our own kingdoms in his place. And so we have come under his judgment, and we deserve to be dead and buried. But he came down to raise us up. The hinge verse for the whole of the book of Luke, the whole journey, is there on your sheet, Luke 9:51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out to Jerusalem. He's come down from heaven. Now he's going up to heaven. And so the events unfold over these next few chapters as we see that he takes the judgment. He dies. He's buried like a seed in the ground. And then we see that he rises up out of the ground. He ascends back to heaven, having completed his audacious rescue mission. Yes, the king of everything became nothing to take on our problem, to give us his everything. And the kingdom is like its king. So don't be surprised when we often seem like nothing. Think of your office. What does Jesus seem like in your office? Or to your colleagues? Often he seems like nothing. Why? Is it because he really has no relevance for our work or for our colleagues? Is it because he's lost control of your office? No, of course not. Don't be deceived. No, Jesus is everything, and yet this king loves his world so much that he humbly chose to become nothing for us. Or when we see suffering, when we face what Eric Liddell did, when we see the church being put down like he did, don't despair. The kingdom is like its king, and it's not the end. Because the kingdom of God seems like nothing, but our second point on the sheet, it's a secret agent. A secret agent. When you look at a lump of dough, what do you see happening? That's a silly question, isn't it? You don't see anything happening, it's a lump of dough. But with the yeast hidden inside, something is happening. It's the same with the seed in the ground. As they act, at no moment can you see a seed or yeast do anything. But before you know it, there's a huge loaf of bread or an enormous bush. They'd be great at that game that my kids love. What's the time, Mr. Wolf? You know, where you creep up behind someone without being seen to move? Because you never see them do anything, and yet they're very active. Because yeast and seeds are secret agents. What do secret agents do? They do things, they act in secret, quietly, without being spotted. Now I know agents, you might think of secret agents as people, but not all agents are people. Think of cleaning agents, or raising agents, or estate agents. Forget that last one. If you're an estate agent and you're here today, you're very welcome. Secret agents. They act in secret. Why? What are they doing? Well, they're trying to get inside, somewhere impenetrable. They're trying to get under the surface and shake things up. They're trying to subvert something which seems secure. The Roman Empire back in Jesus' day certainly seemed secure and unshakable. Caesar ruled the world. He was violently and implacably opposed to any other king. But Jesus, the king, rose from the dead. So what happened next? Did Jesus march up to the gate and confront Caesar? Did his followers play the game of imperial power and negotiate their way onto the political scene? No. No, they just shared the good news. And the kingdom grew unstoppably. So much so that just a few years later, in Acts chapter 17, that's Luke's sequel to his account of the life of Jesus, 1,000 miles up the road in northern Greece, the locals described the followers of Jesus, I put it there on the sheet, Acts 17 verse 6, as these men who have turned the world upside down. Now please don't mishear me, the kingdom is not a KGB agent or even James Bond. It's not deceitful or underhand, it doesn't lie or distort. No, the point is that like yeast and seeds, it's under the radar. It's not showy. It doesn't need to be seen to be big. Remember that when we don't see the kingdom of God seeming to be on top. And it doesn't conform. It doesn't need to play the world at its own game, but it meets it with the deeply subversive actions of humility and love. And also, don't think I'm saying we shouldn't be open about our faith. Of course, we need to share the good news openly, actively. We shout it from the rooftops. But the best secret agents, they communicate a lot with those, well, both those at home through secure channels, I'm thinking prayer, but also with those on the ground around them to bring about change. Yeast and seeds grow by interacting with what's around them. But they don't feel constrained. Secret agents don't always go through the official channels. They bypass barriers. They don't need to get permission. And they are wise about how they do it. They don't make a fuss or seek the limelight. So how do we change the world? we seem pretty small and puny, don't we? I mean, look at us here. We're not that much compared with the mighty powers around us. I'm thinking capitalism, materialism, consumerism, individualism, hedonism, nationalism, fatalism, modernism, postmodernism, elitism, authoritarianism. I could go on and on and on. They're all powerful kingdoms, and they're all built up against the king. Is it really worth keeping going in the face of those? Hang in there. Don't be overawed. We don't need to look impressive. We are weak. Life is short and hard. But the kingdom of God is at work, and nothing will stop it. The kingdom of God. All things, those things that seem so secure and dominant, the subversive kingdom of God has already undermined their foundations. I put the verse there on the sheet, Hebrews 12:28. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God might seem like nothing, but it's a secret agent at work to change things, and it changes everything. Our final point there on the sheet. The kingdom of God grows huge and spreads everywhere. Jesus is risen. Like the seed, he was buried in the ground, and like the seed, he rose up. Like the dough, he was beaten and worked. Like the dough, he's become life-giving bread for us. Oh yeah, there have been plenty of attempts to stop him. Nations like North Korea, Iran, China itself have spent millions on eradicating the kingdom of God, but they will always fail, because you can't keep yeast out of any bit of the dough, can you? In fact, the more you beat it, the more it spreads. So let me ask you, which kingdom are you investing in? Is it what seems like something now, or what will be everything in the end? One of our predecessors, Ben Stone, wrote this great little booklet called Investing for Life. And this applies Warren Buffett's 6 investing principles to the kingdom of God. There are copies at the back. Just take one and take it away. Well, investment principle 5 is the investment must have attractive long-term prospects. That is true of the kingdom of God. And it isn't true about any of the other investments in the universe. The kingdom of God is advancing. Look to the future. The kingdom of God grows huge and spreads everywhere until at the end it is everything. Can we really put our eggs in the basket of the kingdom and of Jesus our King? Yes. Jesus is alive. That is the key fact in our offices this afternoon, in our homes this evening, in life, in death, in everything, everywhere. Richard Bewes, the author of this brilliant little book on the kingdom, The Stone That Became a Mountain, was born during the East African Revival. He told how the revival started. It was a man called Joe Church. He was another medical missionary. And was he a good orator? No. Great theologian? No. Great speaker? Even his family said no. No. He saw the problems around him and he started praying. Then he met up with 3 other Christians, local people, under a thorn tree for 4 days, reading the Bible, studying and praying. 4 ordinary Christians. And by the power of the Spirit, the message started to spread from that little group. Tens went to hundreds, hundreds went to thousands, thousands went to millions all over East Africa. It grew so strong that it even stood up to the evil tyrant Idi Amin in Uganda. Amin killed Archbishop Junani Luwum with 2 bullets because he couldn't stand his goodness. And of course, the kingdom has long outlasted Idi Amin. And go to much of East Africa today, and yes, there are problems, but it's full of the life of Jesus. A little meeting going a long way. So what's to say that can't be us meeting in the Moorgate area under the word of God, praying, encouraging each other. quietly turning the world upside down. Well, there might be some here who don't follow Jesus. This is for you. We want all of our talks to introduce people to him. If you're not already in the kingdom, then can I invite you to join? You can do so today. It's free, and Jesus will set you free. Why not come and talk to one of the leaders or to me afterwards? The kingdom of God seems like nothing, but it's a secret agent that grows huge and spreads everywhere. As we finish, do you see that the teaching of Jesus here is intensely personal? You see, when he talks about being planted in the garden, when he talks about being worked all through the dough, he is, of course, agonizingly aware that very soon that's going to be him. And he did it for us, for you, for me. So let me ask, what do you face, maybe even this week? Disappointment, defeat, disease, decay, disaster, death. It does sometimes seem like we are tiny. Well, look at Jesus. He seemed like nothing. And yet, he is risen. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. Amen. Let's have a moment of prayer. Our Father God, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for his kingdom. Thank you that he became nothing to give us his everything. Thank you that his kingdom is at work, even when we don't perceive it, even when we don't see it. And thank you for the great confidence that we can take from the fact that he is in heaven with you, and that his kingdom grows huge and spreads everywhere. Please write this on our hearts this week so that we have confidence in him. In his name we pray. Amen.